today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, which is a listener-supported ministry. We're heard daily on 1,300 radio outlets. As a matter of fact, I'm pleased to tell you that we've added 130 new outlets just in the last few months, and that includes 7 of the 10 largest markets in the country. So God is blessing us, and thank you for being part of what we're doing. I am very, very concerned about something today. I often come here with something on my heart with regard to what's happening to the family, and this is a major one. I'm concerned about Child Protective Services, CPS, in numerous states that are using what appear to be illegal and invasive methods to come in some cases, and take children away from their parents. Frankly, I've been at this. I've been on the radio for 42 years, and this is not a new concern. Back in the 1980s, CPS in California and elsewhere in the country was taking kids away from what turned out to be unlawful and invasive purposes. And we did what we could to fight for them then, and here it is again. The far left and those that want to change the way families function, it just never gives up. And here it is, all those years ago, certainly more than 30, and we're back to what has been a major concern all this time. We're going to talk today with Tim Lambert, the president of the Texas Homeschools Coalition. If anyone ought to know what he's talking about in this regard, at least in Texas, but I think elsewhere, this is the man who can let us know what is going on and what parents are dealing with. Tim, you just flew out from Texas to be with us, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here. We've met before, haven't we?
Dr. Dobson, I'm not sure we've met face-to-face, but I've known you from afar for a long time. In fact, Dr. Dobson, you're the reason that my wife and I started homeschooling.
Really?
We heard your radio program with Dr. Raymond Moore back in the 80s, and I went home to my wife, and I said, hey, I think we're going to need to homeschool. And she looked at me and said, we?
You did, and you've raised how many kids?
We have four adult children. We homeschool all of them through high school, and we have 7 grandkids today, and all of our grandkids are being homeschooled. So,
oh my,
God has been really good to us, and
you. Do you regret that decision,
Dr. Dobson? I tell people that aside from my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and my relationship with my wife, homeschooling is the best thing that has ever happened to me and to my family.
And it's more needed today than ever before.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Dr. Dobson, I tell people sometimes I think the Lord kind of snookered me into homeschooling. In the beginning years, I thought it was really about my wife teaching my children. And then eventually, Dr. Dobson, I realized it was about discipling my children.
Yes.
And at some point, God confronted me with the fact that if I wanted my sons to be godly men, I had to be a godly man. And that put a whole different perspective on it. It's not just about academics.
I thank God for those parents who are saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to get my kids out of there. Either put them in Christian schools or teach them at home, but they can't allow the state and National Education Association and others to control the minds of those kids.
Well, Dr. Dobson, that's exactly right. And the fight has always been the same. Back in the 80s, we had an attorney general of Texas who said that he did not believe parents were qualified to raise their kids, much less teach them at home. And it became clear to us in those early days before our class action suit against the state that really the issue was who gets to raise the children, who gets to make decisions for the children. And Dr. Dobson, we believe that we have a God-given fundamental constitutional right as parents to make decisions for our children.
Oh, I love to hear you say that, because that's what I believe deep within me. And it's under assault. It continues to be.
It is under assault, Dr. Dobson. And back in the 80s when we used to hide our kids during the day because we were afraid of being turned in.
It was really that bad.
It was. We had, over 100 families in Texas were prosecuted simply for homeschooling. And the issue was not, do you have a curriculum? Are you teaching your kids? It was, you can't do this, and we're going to prosecute you. Texas was the worst place in the country before the Leaper decision for people to homeschool.
Is that how you got into the defense of homeschooling?
Dr. Dobson, I have a BA in political science, and I said at one point in my life I would never be involved in politics. And eventually the Lord made me change that because I believe that God was directing me and my family to raise up our children in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord by homeschooling. And the Attorney General in the state of Texas was saying, you can't do that.
And you got into this work in 1990, I think I heard.
I started as an advisory member of our organization in 1984, and in 1990 I became the executive director. We had a phone line and an Apple computer in our home in a bedroom, and we trained my kids to answer the phone. They were our first staff, and eventually they turned out okay, and we had to get some office space. And today we have about 35 employees all over the state of Texas, and God continues to enable us to fight today. It is the fight for the family.
That's it.
Basically, and 10 years ago I said to my board, if you have a right to homeschool, unless you don't have enough money to defend yourself against CPS or defend yourself in a custody case or in a grandparent access case, then you really don't have the right to homeschool. And so our focus changed 10 years ago to defend that God-given fundamental right of parents to make decisions for their
kids.
One
of the first duties that you had, I would assume, had to do with a lawsuit against homeschoolers. Wasn't that one of your early responsibilities?
Well, in the beginning, the Texas Education Agency, our State Department of Education, rendered an opinion that homeschooling was not legal. So we have 254 counties and 1,000 school districts in Texas, and they all begin to prosecute homeschoolers. So we met together, and in response to that, a great homeschool dad, an attorney named Shelby Sharp. In fact, we are celebrating this year the 25th anniversary of the Texas Supreme Court's decision upholding the Leaper case, saying that homeschooling is legal in Texas. And it took us almost 10 years in court to win that battle. But by God's grace, we did. And today, Texas is one of the greatest places to homeschool.
If you had lost that, would parents have lost their kids or at least lost the right to educate them?
Yeah, the issue really was our homeschools, private schools. But the underlying issue was the state really didn't believe we had the authority to do that. But what came out in the court was that when Texas passed its first compulsory attendance law in 1915, the law said when a child is 7 years of age, they have to be in a public or private school that teaches a study in good citizenship or have tutors. In 1923, the legislature amended that by striking the exemption for tutors, and the TEA assumed that that meant the outlawing of homeschooling. In the court record, it came out that 80% of the students in Texas in the 1920s were being homeschooled. And the state of Texas would obviously never pass a law that would put 80% of the kids on the wrong side of that.
Let me tell you one of my favorite stories, and it is certainly one of the most exciting moments in my career. The homeschools movement was dear to my heart, and this struggle was going on. And a congressman by the name of Miller, a liberal congressman, decided that he was going to introduce legislation that would require parents to be state qualified in every subject, which meant homeschooling's out of business.
H.R. 6.
Yeah, H.R. 6 is exactly what it was. And Mike Ferris was head of the Homeschools Legal Defense Association, and he called me and said, "This is expected to pass. Is there anything we can do about it?" I said, "Mike, let's do a radio program on it and let's see if there's some support out there from parents." We did a program. We talked about the fact that this bill was right on the verge of passing. Yep. It would have changed everything, would have destroyed the whole homeschools movement. And we went on the radio at Focus on the Family and gave the phone numbers of all the members of Congress and said, if you don't do something, this is going to be law. And I think in the history of the U.S. Congress, there's never been a response like that. It actually melted the phone system.
Yes.
I think more than 2 million people called in just a few days. And guess what? Congressmen began running for the tall grass. And when the vote was taken, only one congressman voted for it, and that was Congressman Miller. All the rest of them got the message, boy.
Dr. Dobson, I remember that well. Mike Ferris was in Texas as that vote was happening, and we were traveling the state. And a Texas congressman named Dick Armey carried the resolution against that.
And I knew him well.
And that was, somebody told me there was a screensaver on a computer in one of the congressional offices that said, democracy works. Ask a homeschooler. So, yes, we introduced the homeschool movement to the Congress in 1994.
Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Well, how's it doing today?
Homeschooling continues to grow by leaps and bounds. There's well over 2 million students. Dr. Brian Ray with the National Home Education Research Institute over in Oregon and I worked together on a little piece recently. When the 2012 numbers came out, they said that homeschooling had flattened out. But we went to the local data in like 24 states, and their average was a 25% increase in homeschooling.
My goodness.
It continues to grow.
Well, let me speak directly to the parent who doesn't really know much about this and is intrigued by it, but their kids are being taught things that are antithetical to the
yes.
Christian belief. And they've been watching this and concerned about it. I want to say to you who are listening, you're in that boat. It's time for you to act. Mm-hmm. And you really need more information to know what to do. There are all kinds of supports for homeschool parents.
Yes.
Curricula, coalitions, all kinds of things. It's not nearly as primitive as it was in the early days. But what would you say to them?
Well, Dr. Dobson, you're exactly right. You know, back in the 80s, we couldn't find curriculum. The curriculum suppliers wouldn't sell to us. They said we weren't private schools, and people were having to make their own curriculum. Today, the issue is not how do I find something, but what do I choose from? So there's online curriculum, there's support groups all over the country. And of course, if people are in Texas, we encourage them to contact Texas Homeschool Coalition at thsc.org.
Mm-hmm.
So the availability is just mind-boggling today. Lots of support online and Facebook groups. And Dr. Dobson, I will tell you that the vast majority of people who choose to homeschool today do so because they've met a homeschool family, and they look at those children, regardless of their age, and they go, that is what I want my children to be.
Let me tell you, those kids are different.
Yes, they are.
They are. I saw it. We used to have field trips that would come through. There were kids from public schools and kids from homeschools.
Yeah.
The homeschool kids were different.
Yes.
Because they had had different training. And the public schools kids that came through tended to be bored, and it was hard to get their attention. The homeschool kids would look you in the eye and ask good questions. Their deportment was different. And I am pleased to tell you that I have two grandkids now who are being homeschooled. So it's come full circle.
Praise God. And I will tell you, Doc, it reminds me of a story in the early 90s. I live in Lubbock, Texas, and our local school superintendent was, they were calling on homeschoolers. So I put my suit on and took my briefcase and went out and meet the superintendent, and we started talking. And this is what he said to me, Dr. Dobson. He said, his kids went to a public school, and he said, Tim, if you hold your kids out 1 year, that's not too bad. But if you hold them out 2 years or more, Tim, they're going to be different. And Dr. Dobson, I didn't have the courage to say to him, but what I was thinking is that is the point. That is the point. Yes, absolutely. And today we're, you know, you mentioned earlier, we've kind of come full circle. We're fighting some of the same battles that we fought in the 80s, you know, not so much with school districts now, but with CPS and these attacks against the family.
Well, that brings us to the topic for today. We're no longer fighting for the right to homeschool, I don't think, in many places.
No.
What we're fighting is CPS, the Child Protective Services, coming in and threatening to take kids away for sometimes made-up things. I want to tell you, there is a dilemma here.
Yes.
That's what we're here to talk about. We're not to take away the rights to go get a child who is terribly abused and maybe his life is threatened. You got to have a program to protect those children, but it's not to take children away from good, godly parents.
Dr. Dobson, you're exactly right. And I think in the Pardo case that we're talking about, the state senator from that district, his name is Bob Hall. He's a great man, and he came and sat in the district. He watched this, and his response, he's done several articles, but his point was the system is broken because CPS is not taking children they should take, and they are taking children they shouldn't take. And Dr. Dobson, the cases that I've seen, the issue is CPS is breaking their own rules, and they're not following the law. There's a law in place and a protocol and a process that if they follow, then it protects innocent parents. Dr. Dobson, a criminal in criminal court has more rights than a parent in a child in a CPS case. It's horrific, but it's true. So that's the issue that we're facing, and in what we saw in this Pardo case, and it's not uncommon. Last year in Houston, a similar situation happened, and a judge sanctioned CPS and fined the agency $127,000 because they fabricated facts, they lied, and when they were caught, they refused to back down. And this year, the agency said that they decided they were not going to appeal that case. And Dr. Dobson, there's only one reason a state agency won't appeal a case, and that's because they know they're not going to win.
They're going to lose.
That's right. So, and this is, Texas is not, unlike other states, this is happening across the country. So when people ask me the problem, I tell them the problem is CPS is not following the law. And the other problem, Dr. Dobson, the reason they're allowed to do that is because the judge is supposed to be the one who looks at the law and holds CPS accountable. And Dr. Dobson, too many times the judges are not doing that.
That really disturbs me, because if that's not handled fairly, then where do the parents go?
That's exactly right. And I had a friend of mine who was in the courtroom as she watched this whole scenario lay out, and the judge allow CPS to keep this little four-year-old boy they took from this family indefinitely, up to a year, maybe 18 months. And my friend came to me and she said, Tim, if I saw a crime happen, if I saw somebody robbed, I would call the police. And if I saw somebody kidnap a child, I would call the authorities. But Tim, who do I call here? It is the state that has kidnapped this child.
And that's where your organization comes in.
That's exactly right.
So you step in and help defend parents who have been abused in this way.
We do. We have one of the benefits of membership is that we, unfortunately, Dr. Dobson, this is not uncommon. We've had, since 2014, we've had a benefit. So we have a homeschool dad who's a CPS expert. 90% of his practice is CPS investigations, and he handles all of the investigations. And we've handled almost 60 of those in the last 5 years. We've got 12 open cases right now. So that means one or two times a month, we've got an attorney representing a homeschool family as part of our association who's undergoing some kind of contact or investigation with CPS.
And God bless you, Tim, for doing that. And I hope you'll extend our regards to your organization that's out there fighting for parents that many of them don't have the resources financially or otherwise to defend their own rights to raise their precious children that they brought into the world, that they're praying over, they're feeding and preparing lunches for them in the morning and keeping a roof over their heads and sacrificing in order to be able to raise their own children. And they desperately need a friend, and you guys are those friends.
Well, we are glad to do that. And Dr. Dobson, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your coming alongside us and highlighting this issue because the public needs to know about it.
How broad is it? How great is the problem, both in Texas and elsewhere?
Well, it is huge. And unfortunately, homeschoolers are often seen as suspect. And so I think every homeschool organization in the country would tell you this is a problem. So we spend a lot of time trying to educate our families on how to respond, how to handle these things when they come to the door, to not let them in, to record the conversations, to call us and to have our attorney represent them. So this continues to happen all across the country. The states change, but the stories unfortunately stay the same. My attorney friend who represents a lot of families. In fact, he told me, he said, Tim, what I really like about representing your people is it's really great to represent righteous people. So these are godly families who are, you know.
Imagine taking children away from people like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Are there homeschool organizations like yours in every state?
Yes. Yes. So every state has an organization. We all operate by giving people information. We all represent the homeschool communities at our state legislatures. You know, we spend a lot of money and have people on the ground in Texas because there are people still who believe that the state rather than parents should be deciding what is in the best interest of child. So we spend a lot of money at the legislature.
Other than providing this kind of information to people, and some folks are hearing this for the first time, they had no idea this is going on, what can I do to help you? Because I believe in your cause.
One of the things that's been difficult, Dr. Dobson, is, you know, in some ways, organizations like ours who have been successful in defending homeschool families have been, in some ways, victims of our own success. You know, so we don't have the kind of problems we used to have. And so people say, why should I join the Texas Homeschool Coalition or a state organization that's helping homeschoolers? Because we don't have any problems. So we need, obviously, we want to drive people to our website to get information. We have a couple of conferences every year where we give people information. Dr. Dobson, at lunch, I was saying that, you know, in the 80s when we had a homeschool conference, nobody talked about how to homeschool because nobody knew how to homeschool in the 1980s. What we talked about in those days was why we homeschool, you know, and we talk about that a lot at our conferences. This is about our children. This is about passing the baton to the next generation.
I'm sure you would agree with this as we close, that the real issue here is not limited to homeschools. The real issue is trying to protect the institution of the family and parenting. That's really what's at stake here.
That's exactly right, Dr. Dobson. And the way I put it to the homeschool community is, if we can't defend the God-given fundamental constitutional right of a parent to make decisions for their children, then we will lose our right as parents to make the decision to homeschool.
Tim, I've appreciated this conversation so much. I know of your work, and I appreciate you coming here to talk with us. You just sit tight, and we're going to do tomorrow's program. And we're going to talk about a specific case, not the generic, which is we've been discussing. But there is an outrageous situation with a family named Pardo. And it's been in the news all over the country. We're going to find out more about it next time.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. It's such an honor for me to be here, and we very much appreciate you and your ministry.
Sit tight.
You've been listening to Family Talk, and Dr. James Dobson's guest today has been Tim Lambert, president of Texas Homeschool Coalition. I urge you to learn more about this organization by visiting today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. From there, you can follow their many cases and fights for homeschooling families in the state of Texas. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org, and then click on the broadcast icon at the top of the page. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Tim Lambert. You won't want to miss this story next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director at the Dobson Family Institute, wanting to remind you that our ministry is listener-supported. Your contributions allow us to continue the fight for families everywhere. You can partner with us by going to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. That number again, 877-732-6825. This world, you know this, needs a serious transformation of the heart. Your gift can help make a difference. I hope you'll stand with us, and thank you for being a friend of the family.